Got your presentation from the department. So we thought today let's just get the legal people that advises us to quickly then take us through, and then we so that we can conclude on this issue and then take them to the SOP. So without any waste of time, I'm going to hand over to the legal people to take us through so that then it can materialize.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to our members and colleagues. Chair, we are not bringing anything new from that which the department has already presented. We have scrutinized the regulation for compliance with the Constitution and the law. We have looked at whether there is an empowering provision in the Principal Act that gives the minister to make the regulations, and we found that there is such an empowering provision. We have also looked at whether the regulations in themselves or the content of the regulations does not confer a power to the minister which is not provided for in the Principal Act, and we have found that during our session that the regulations do not confer any other power than that which is already provided for in the Principal Act. And therefore the regulations are entirely within the ambit of Section 29, one of the Principal Act. The Principal Act being the Community Schemes Ombuds Services Act of 2011. In effect, here today we'll just be going through the regulations, reading the regulations section per section for the committee to adopt per section, if the committee is in agreement or agreeable. Subsequent to which then the committee would adopt the regulations in entirety, followed by a report which will be presented by the service. I will commence here with going through the regulations, and I will skip the schedule, Chair, because the schedule will also be indicated in the charters and sections that I'll be reading through. And I'll go straight to interpretations, which is in Chapter 1 of the Act. Chapter 1 of the Act provides for definitions. And it says, in these regulations, any word or expression which a meaning has been assigned by the Act shall bear the same meaning assigned to it in the Act, and unless the context indicates otherwise. Applicable levy factor means levy factor set by minister for that category of scheme. Board means the board established in terms of Section 6 of the Act. Chairperson means the chairperson of the board appointed by the minister in terms of Section 6, Section 4 of the Act. Chief Ombud means the chief ombud of the services appointed in terms of Section 14 of the Act. Managing agent means a person who provides management services to a community scheme for reward, whether monetary or otherwise, including any person who is employed to render such services. Scheme executive means a person who is a trustee, director, or another person who exercises executive control of a community scheme. Scheme management service means any financial, secretarial, administrative, or other service relating to the administration of a community scheme. And the Act means the Community Scheme Ombuds Services Act of Act 9 of 2011. Chapter 2 provides for activities of the board as defined. It provides for meetings of the board in Section 2. Section 2, Subsection 1 reads, the board must hold at least 4 regular meetings in a year. Subsection 2 reads, meetings of the board must be held at a time and place determined by the board. 3, the chairperson, A, may at any time convene a special meeting of the board, and B, must convene the special meeting only when requested to do so in writing by one third of the member of the board, of the members of the board. The chairperson of the board may from time to time determine that a meeting must be held, or a member of the board may participate in a meeting by telephone, closed circuit television, or other electronic means of communication that allows all participants to communicate. A member of the board who participates in a meeting as contemplated in sub-regulation 4 must be regarded as being present at the meeting. At this point, with your permission, I would just want to know if you will adopt per section or would you want to read throughout until the end of the regulation?
Honourable Member, the section and definition has been done. Do you want us to do this section or do you want the legal section just to do the entire and then we adopt? Honourable Member,
I propose that
he does the
entire.
Okay.
I propose, Chair, that he read the entire and then we look into adopting the after.
Okay, thank you very much. Any second on that? Seconded by Honorable Koran. Okay. Any opposing issue? That's it. Continue then.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, members. And just order to state that we will do the final cleaning up of regulations where they have been forced on different pages on at the end of the process. Section 3 of the regulations, or regulation 3, deals with notices. 3.1 says that the chairperson of or the chief of board must give not less than 7 days written notice of any meeting to all members of the board, except A, in a case of emergency, or B, where all members of the board agree to accept shorter notice. 2, that notice contemplated in sub-regulation 1 must A, specify the date and time of the meeting, B, state the general nature of the business of the meeting, and C, either state the place of the meeting or specify the means of communication by which the meeting will be held. 3, the proceedings of or resolutions passed in a meeting of the board are not invalid merely because a member did not receive a notice of the meeting, provided that the chairperson or the chief board made the reasonable attempts to give the member sufficient notice. 4 deals with quorum. 4.1 states, no business may be conducted at the meeting of the board unless a quorum of members of the board is present. 2, a quorum of a meeting of the board is the majority of its members. 3, if a quorum is not present within 30 minutes of the time determined for a meeting of the board, the person presiding at the meeting may adjourn the meeting to the same time and place 7 days after the adjournment. 4, if a quorum is not present at the adjourned meeting within 30 minutes at the time determined for such meeting, the meeting is automatically cancelled. Regulation 5 provides for adjournment of meetings. 5.1 states, the person presiding at a meeting at which a quorum is present, A, may adjourn the meeting with members' consent, and B, must adjourn the meeting if the members so direct. 2, an adjourned meeting must be held at the time and place agreed to by members before the meeting is adjourned. Regulation 6 provides for presiding at meetings of the board. 6.1 states, subject to sub-regulation 2, the chairperson must preside at all meetings of the board at which the chairperson is present, and B, in absence of the chairperson or in the event that the chairperson is for any reason unable to act as chairperson, the deputy chairperson must preside at a meeting of the board. 2, if neither the chairperson nor the deputy chairperson is present, the members present must appoint a member of the board from amongst themselves to preside at the meeting. Regulation 7 provides a procedure and making of decision. 7.1 states, subject to these regulations and the common law of meetings, the board may regulate its own proceedings. 2, a motion at a board meeting does not require a seconder. It must be determined by resolution of the majority of votes of members of the board present at voting. 3, if the deliberate votes for and against the motion are equal in number, including the vote of the presiding officer, the presiding officer must exercise the casting vote to maintain the existing position. Regulation 8 provides for minutes. 8.1 states, the chief ombud must ensure that complete and accurate minutes of each meeting are kept. Draft minutes of each meeting must be distributed to all members of the board as soon as possible, but no later than 10 days after the meeting to which they relate. Be present at the next meeting of the board for amendments, if necessary, and adoption, and C, be recorded and entered in a minute book kept for that purpose. 3, the person presiding at the next meeting must sign and stage an affirmation to the effect that the minutes of the previous meeting have been adopted by the members of the board. 4, the chairperson must provide the minister with a summary of the minutes after every meeting of the board. Regulation 9 provides for written resolutions. Regulation 9, sub-regulation 1 states, Subject to staff regulation, members of the board may, without holding a meeting, take resolutions in writing. 2, the chairperson or the chief ombud may deliver to each member of the board a notice, A, including the text of a proposed resolution, and B, setting a closing date not being less than 7 days after the date of the notice for the submission of written agreement to resolution. 3, due to the expiry of the date, if before the expiry of the closing date the majority of the members of the board have agreed to the resolution without amendment, it is considered to be a resolution of the board. Regulation 10 provides restitution of documents and validity of actions. 10.1 states, all documents signed on behalf of the board is valid and binding unless it is signed on the authority of a board resolution by the chairperson and another non-executive member of the board. 2, a resolution taken or any other act performed by the board remains valid and effective, despite the later discovery of some defect in the appointment of a member of the board or any member's disqualification from office in terms of Section 9 of the Act. Chapter 3 of the regulations shall provide for scheme, levy, and service fees. Regulation 11 provides for levies and amounts payable under that chapter. 11.1 says, every community scheme must pay the levy referred to in the regulation for levies and fees regulation on quarterly basis. 2, the minister may, by noticing the Gazette, set and amend, say, an applicable levy factor in the form of a decimal fraction for each of various state categories of scheme, with definitions of each category. B, a maximum amount of the levy for a community scheme in each category. And C, the rate of discount or waiver of levies, with details of the disqualifications for such discounts or waivers. 3, the levy is calculated subject to any applicable maximum amount, discount or waiver referred to in sub-regulation 2, according to the following formula. A, the lesser of 40 rands or 2% of the amount by which the monthly levy charged by the scheme exceeds 500 rands. Regulation 12 provides for services and costs. It states, the minister must, by noting the Gazette, set or amend A, fees regarding, Roman letter 1, applications made in terms of Section 38 of the Act 2, adjudication of disputes 3, the inspection of documentation and the custody of the services in terms of Section 43, Subsection 2, and 4, services rendered based on cost recovery and payable by persons who make use of the service. The rate of discount or waivers of fees with details of the qualifications for such discounts or waivers. C, the maximum amount of cost an adjudicator may order contemplated in Section 55, Subsection 3 of the Act. Regulation 13 provides for interest on overdue amounts. It states, any community scheme which or person who fails to pay a levy or any other amount due to the service on the date that amount is due and payable must pay the service interest on that amount for the period it remains outstanding at a rate 1% higher than the service's primary banker prime lending rate, compounded monthly in arrears. Chapter 4 provides a promotion of good governance, training, and education. In Regulation 14, it provides the duties of scheme executives. Sub-regulation 1 states a scheme executive must A, take reasonable steps to inform and educate himself or herself about the community scheme, its affairs and activity, and the legislation and government recommendation in terms of which the community scheme operates. B, take reasonable steps to obtain sufficient information and advice about all matters to be decided by the scheme executives to enable him or her to make consensual and informed decisions. C, unless excused by the chairperson of the scheme executives on reasonable grounds, attend all meetings of the scheme executives and attend the community scheme's annual general meeting if it holds such a meeting. Exercise an active and independent opinion with respect to all matters to be decided by the scheme executives and exercise due diligence in relation to any business of and necessary preparation for and attendance of meetings of the scheme executives or any committee to which such schemes such human services is appointed. Two, the obligations of a community human relations in terms of that regulation one are in addition to and do not derogate from the fiduciary obligations of a scheme regulation in terms of common law or any other applicable statute. Regulation 15 provides fidelity insurance. That is to regulation 5, to sub-regulation 5. Every community scheme must ensure against the risk of loss of money belonging to the community scheme for which it is responsible. Sustain the results of any act of fraud or dishonesty committed by any insurable person. Two, for the purposes of sub-regulation 1, insurable person means any scheme executive, employee or agent of a community scheme who has control over the money of a community scheme, managing agent or contractor, employee or other person acting on behalf of or under the direction of a managing agent, who in the normal course of the community scheme's affairs has access to or control over the monies of the community scheme. Three, the minimum amount of the fidelity insurance cover requires in terms of sub-regulation 1 is the total value of the community scheme's investments and reserves at the end of its financial year, of its last financial year, and 25% of the community scheme's operational budget for each current financial year. The insurance cover referred to sub-regulation 1 must provide for payment of a loss by the insurer to the community scheme within a reasonable period after reasonably satisfactory proof of the loss has been furnished to the insurer. And the not require that criminal or civil cases be taken or completed against the insured person before payment is made under the insurance policy. A community scheme is not obliged to obtain fidelity cover for an insurable person if that person has delivered to a community scheme written proof that the money of the community scheme are covered by fidelity insurance that complies with the requirements of regulation 3 and 4, and the insurer concerned has noted the community scheme's interest in the application of the policies of the policy, and undertaken not to cancel or withdraw cover without giving the community scheme at least 10 days' written notice. Regulation 16 provides for quality and form of governance documentation. In order to ensure that the scheme governance documentation that the state regulates or takes custody in terms of Section 4.1 of the Act is reasonably accessible to the person who has rights and obligations in terms of the state documentation, chief ombuds made by written notice to a community scheme require that the scheme governance documentation be lodged with the service within 30 days after the establishment of a community scheme in terms of any applicable law. Any part of such documentation that is illegible, incomplete or missing from the records of the community scheme must be replaced, and the documentation and all amendments made to it by the community scheme or in terms of any applicable law must be consolidated so as to produce an updated document. Regulation 17 provides for training. For the purpose of the services training function in terms of Section 4.1b of the Act, the service must develop and identify certain courses for the staff referred to in Section 1 of the Act. For purpose of the scheme of the services education information functions in terms of Section 4.2b of the Act, the service must develop, identify, and publicize education and information programs for owners, occupiers, executive companies, and other persons who have rights and obligations in community schemes. Chapter 5 provides for annual return certificates and forms. Regulation 15 under that chapter provides for scheme governance documentation and information. 18.1 states the documents referred to in Section 59B of the Act must be filled with the service within four months after the end of the community scheme's financial year by filling in the prescribed form CS2. The chief ombuds must, by practice directive, determine the name, the same, and amend the forms relating to the annual return referred to in Section 59B1 of the Act, the application by developers and sectional titles bodies corporate for approval, or sectional title body corporate to rules. 3. Application for and supply of copies of documents, and application for supply of information, and application for registration of a community scheme. The documents and information that community schemes must submit to the service annually in terms of Section 59D3 of the Act, a community scheme must file the application in form 3S1 within 90 days of the coming into effect of this regulation, or each date of incorporation in terms of applicable laws. Regulation 9 provides for dispute resolution. It says an application between section 7981 of the Act must be made by submission of an application by physical delivery or electronically in accordance with the practice directive issued by the Chief of Police. Resolution 20 provides for legal representation. It states the notice in regards to legal representation referred to in section 43.2 of the Act, 43.2b of the Act, must read as follows. In quotation marks, in terms of section 52 of the Committee on Service Act of 2011, a person is not entitled to legal representation in adjudication proceedings unless the adjudicator and all parties agree or the adjudicator determines that a party cannot deal with the adjudication without legal representation. Close quotation marks. Regulation 21 deals with appeal against the decision of the adjudicator. It states the notice in regards to the right of appeal referred to in section 54.1g of the Act must read as follows. Open quotation mark. In terms of section 57 of the Community Schemes on the Service Act of 2011, a person who is dissatisfied with an adjudicator's order is entitled to appeal to the High Court, but only on a question of law. The appeal must be lodged within 30 days after the delivery of the order. Refer to the text of the Community Schemes on Public Service Act of 2011 for the full wording of the provision. Power to enter and inspect is provided for in Regulation 22. It says the adjudicator or his or her appointed representative may request assistance of the South African Police Service if they are refused access to enter premises. In Regulation 23, share there's a provision for short title. This regulation accords the regulations for the Community Schemes on Public Service of 2015 and come into effect on application. And the rest of those forms are appended to the regulation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mbengwane. Maybe before I go to the honorable members, as a legal mind, in your own opinion, are you comfortable with this regulation?
Thank you, Chair, for that question. Chair, as initially stated before I started the presentation, we have, from a legal perspective, looked at the formality of this regulation. Firstly, whether the regulations have been created in terms of an empowering provision in the Act, and we found that in Section 29.1 of the Act is an empowering provision in terms of which the Minister can make this regulation. And in that section, Chair, there is a list of areas in terms of which the Minister can make regulations. And these regulations have been made in terms of that section. We have looked into the regulations here to see whether they confer a power to the Minister which is not provided for in the Fiscal Act, which is a matter that would be against the law, specifically the Interpretation Act. We found these regulations here to be compliant with both the Constitution and the law in that respect. And I can say now that we have not found any illegality in the regulations proposed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mkengwane. Honourable members, now I am with you. The regulation has been presented to us by the department. We ask questions and clarities. We defer adopting them until ourselves as the committee take this office. This is what we are doing now. Any comments? Honourable Ghana?
Thanks, Chair. The comment that I have, I think it's more of a process than understanding the process before we go into the adoption, which I will I'll give maybe a second input on that. It's when you started with a meeting, you mentioned that if these regulations are adopted today, they go straight to the SOP. I want to check whether that's how it's supposed to be. Is it not supposed to be the National Assembly that sends regulations to NCOP? And not, I don't think regulations can go from committee to committee and they come into effect. So I think we need to get that right, that it's only through the National Assembly that the Speaker of the National Assembly that can refer to NCOP. So I want to check if my understanding is correct, because it will have an implication on what I'm going to say. Thanks.
No, you are quite correct. When you are here, remember you are representing the National Assembly, so probably I short circuited what I was saying. You are quite correct. When we have adopted them here, they go to the illegal National Assembly, and the National Assembly sends them to the SOP. You are quite correct.
Chair, thanks. As you might recall, Chair, that last time during the meeting, I had asked that we try to also brief our caucus. Because of the short week last week and there was no caucus, I'm only briefing the caucus this morning. So the sooner we finish here, the sooner I get to brief the caucus and the decision is made. So at this moment, as a TA, will not be supporting or being against any adoption of this, but I think we'll attempt to brief the caucus this morning, and then whatever decision that the caucus makes, we'll inform the committee before the board is tabled in the National Assembly, and if at all possible, maybe our inputs or our view will be reflected before the report is actually drafted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ghana. Honorable Ghana, I understand, having said that, that doesn't stop the process. All that he's saying is that they will consult and then they will come back to us. So I thought, because all of us will go into our caucuses this morning, let's not delay the process. Is there anybody who is unhappy with the regulations as they stand now? We understand what the DA is saying and we take it into consideration, because obviously by the time we go to the National Assembly, they would have consulted with us on that matter. Honorable
Chair, from the input of my colleague, and I think with the explanation by the legal guru, we also cannot point out any area of concern ourselves. I think all of us. So I think from what is in front of us, what has been also explained through, I think I am of the mind that we must approve and allow it to go to the assembly, then to the NOP, noting the importance of these regulations, because without these regulations, then the NTG won't be able to do the functions we want it to perform in our interest that we approve. So I can wish to support that we approve.
Can I probably see with a show of hands those that are supporting the process so far, so that at least we take it forward? Yeah, okay. Yes, hold up.
Before, I think there's some observation which I saw on the regulation, Chair.
That you missed the last meeting.
Sorry.
So you are going to want to take us to step one. But we understand what you want to do. Okay. Continue.
No, Chair, because I was not at that meeting, I cannot say much, but I think I will follow what Abrukan has said, because we have a caucus now at 10. I have to present to the party.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to get a comfort on the ANC side, that because we had two meetings of the portfolio committee discussing these resolutions and regulations, regulations, and looking at all the most aspects that the legal advisor has taken us through, only that the legal advisors were not available at that time. I just want to get whether our support personnel, have they been able to give information to the legal advisor, so that the legal advisor can go through what was the discussion of the committee, what were our decisions, what were our recommendations. Then that will leave us in comfort that the legal advisor has gone through all those outcomes of the two meetings, and then from there he is able to advise us accordingly and be able to highlight most of the things really that has touched on. we already discussed it. Look, unless he highlights those to us, then I think we are able to move forward.
Yeah, no, thanks, Arab Namatramasa, without any confusion. That process has been undertaken. It has been done. Honorable Khan?
Thanks so much. I wanted to make maybe a proposal that might be acceptable, hopefully. Because we know that the session this afternoon is quite short, so it's not a lengthy session. If we can, as a committee, immediately after the president has delivered his responses, because by that time we will have consulted our respective caucuses, that we have a big 20-30 minutes, we get together and then we give the positions as we have received them from our respective caucuses. It will still be today. That's the proposal that I give to this.
Okay. I think is the end happy? The majority party? Is it happy? I have already asked for that time. So I'm just saying, is the end happy? And we so that we can close this matter. We support that. Thank you very, very much. So can we then agree? Okay, we will come to the very same thing after the sitting. Immediately after the sitting. If I come here and find no board, I'll come here and say the effect. He doesn't need to be here. He's done his input. Okay, we'll do that. Thank you so much. It, on that, then, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
All right. Because there are two sets of regulations, I'm not sure whether when we come back, you'll have to do the those with eight. I think it's additional...
Additional title. The reason why I'm not doing them is because they don't need to go to the MSOP.
All right.
Yes, that's why we are not doing the...
All right.
This one.
All right, perfect.
Meeting now is really, really urgent.
Pause that till the first, after the plenary.
No.